You're listening to Strictly Business Podcast with Lindsay Williams.
With me now is Reinhard Roet, who is the co-head of Four Factor at Investec Asset Management. And we're talking about the Discovery Global Equity Feeder Fund. Before we get onto the fund itself, Reinhard, let's have a look at what Four Factor and Investec Asset Management is. What does Four Factor mean?
Sure. So hi there, Lindsay. The Four Factor investment capability was founded in the early 2000s, really. So it's been around for a long time, and we've managed money using the Four Factor philosophy and process for nearly two decades now. I mean, what it simply is, we look for companies or businesses with four attributes, and that's really a high quality, attractively valued business with improving operating performance, which is receiving increasing investor attention. So if you deconstruct that sentence, you'll find that the four attributes is value, then quality or strategy, as we would call it, then earnings we would look for, and then some say technical momentum. So really four concepts there, but they're really just four broad attributes. And we try and build a portfolio with a bunch of businesses or companies that have a fairly equal balance of those four attributes.
Okay, let's have a look at those four attributes if we can. Value, quality, earnings momentum, technical as well. Are there companies in this day and age, which is quite volatile at the moment, are there companies that are still out there that have those four attributes?
Well, that's a very good question, because the world is a strange place, as you know, at the moment. I would say, look, I mean, we are global investors, so our universe is quite broad. You know, we start by running a stock screen that basically searches for companies based on those four characteristics or that has those four qualities. We run that across roughly 3,500 stocks globally every Monday morning. And then we really try and focus on just the top, say, quartile of companies with those characteristics. And that's normally a basket of 700 to 800 stocks globally, believe it or not. And then we focus our research agenda by researching not all of the names, but we try and obviously select the best names from within that group to ultimately get to a portfolio of stocks of roughly 100 to 120 names ultimately. And that is globally, of course. Had we had to kind of deploy that in a more narrower, let's say, regional market such as South Africa, clearly the number of names with those, say, characteristics or quality would certainly be a lot lower.
Much, much lower. You say in your market background piece, which you kindly sent me, it says here, after a slight setback in May, global equities experienced strong performance in June as risk appetite returned to markets, with the MSCI All Country World Index rising by 6.6% on a US dollar basis. But then you go down to say your performance review, and this is a brutal headline: the portfolio underperformed the MSCI ACWI over the quarter gross of fees. Was this just a short-term blip, do you think?
Look, I would say if I had to take a couple of steps back, I would say, I mean, we found the second half of last year relatively difficult to navigate. And this is not 2018 I'm talking about. Partly because I think in 2018, you know, how the year started and how the year ended was very different. There was a significant regime change from, I suppose, a pro-growth, say, positive environment to ending the year on a very negative note. I mean, if you were around and you looked at your stock screens in the month of December, it would have been very uncomfortable because a lot of stock markets were selling quite significantly and also indiscriminately. So the best thing that we probably did in 2019 or year to date thus far was not to do much at the start of the year. We came back from holiday, like a lot of people do, and we made the decision to just sit tight, because we felt at that stage that a lot of the names that we had in the portfolio were being unfairly sold off based on the negative sentiment which we experienced, particularly in the fourth quarter in the month of December. So we had quite a good first quarter of the year. Second quarter, we gave some of it back. But as we stand year to date in 2019, we have indeed outperformed the benchmark index.
Let's look at your outlook and strategy now. You say the G20 summit of global leaders produced no nasty surprises, just a kick the can down the road. Unfortunately, since the G20, there's been a few more cans that have been kicked, and they've been kicked quite hard. And it must skew your investment outlook and your strategy, I think, because we've had this extraordinary volatility in the last few days. And I'm being a short-termist here.
Look, you're absolutely right. I would say, look, investors have a lot of things to grapple with. There's the tariff noise, there's riots, there's military threats in Hong Kong, there's political change everywhere, from South Africa to the UK. I mean, there's almost nowhere to hide. And that's clearly, I think, really taking its toll, not only on a macro level. If you look at things like leading indicators and consumer confidence indices and so forth, that is continuing to roll over or turning down. But if you look at what companies are saying, and that's what I spend most of my time doing, I look at companies, I go through their financial results, I read their outlook statements, and management teams across the world are relatively bearish. Because they don't know what the future might hold because of the tariff threats, for example, because of a lot of other factors. And that's impacting the way they think about running their businesses, where they are investing and so forth. So there's no denying that that there's a lot of bearishness, I think, out there. And as a result of that, I think what we've done naturally throughout the course of the year, we have transitioned our portfolios to be slightly more defensive. We've sold some cyclical names into that kind of rally that we had in the first quarter, like at the start of the year. And we've been buying more, some more consumer staple names, some one or two gold stocks. So I would say the portfolio is probably slightly more defensively positioned now than what we were in the beginning of the year. And that's really to reflect the backdrop or market environment which we find ourselves in, which is one of great uncertainty.
Which is encouraging for me, because what I'm hearing from you is that you are nimble and accommodative to what is happening in the market and the economic environment. In other words, you can change your view relatively quickly.
Yeah, look, I think we can. I mean, we are medium to long-term investors. I think it's very difficult in this day and age to take something like a 10-year view, but we also don't just try and take a six-month view. We try and acknowledge that, you know, when facts are changing, we will change our mind and we will react. And certainly, I think if we look at what's happening in the market backdrop, I think there's a lot of pressure on, say, company earnings. Cyclical stocks are on balance, I think, finding it very difficult to navigate this very tricky environment. And I suppose slightly more defensive areas of the market is doing better. The issue that we're grappling with, though, and this is the biggest issue, I think, on most investors' mind, is that we are seeing a significant divergence in the valuation multiples that one has to pay for more cyclical businesses, where there's a fair amount of bad risk already being priced in, versus the more defensive spectrum of the market. While that part might be more defensive and might be benefiting from this dash for safety, one does have to pay up. So I think it's important to still strike a balance between having defensiveness in one's portfolio and not overpaying too much for that type of exposure.
What we've seen in the last few days, as we record this podcast, is that the inverted yield curve, which was uninverted, if that's the right way to put it, has become reinverted, if you like. And it's the second time that this has happened. Does that signal a recession? And therefore, when you sit down as a portfolio manager, do you say to yourself, well, the second time means that maybe this time it's the real thing, and therefore you adjust your stance to the world market?
No, look, I think I kind of wish it was that simple, where something happens and we can all see it and then everyone just follows and does it. I think that's almost too easy. However, I would say that bond markets historically and yield curves have been, I think, better at forecasting recessions than most economists. And that's why this is quite a big deal, because, you know, we do have one or two data points where when that yield curve did invert, we did see, in fact, some form of recession within 9 to 12 months. Now, there's a debate when exactly it kind of will trigger such a recession, but the signal is there. So, I mean, we are certainly taking note of it. I would say bond markets and bond yields, I think today, is probably more influenced by external factors, central banks, monetary policy than ever before. So I think we could probably have a debate whether that signal is as good quality as what it was a couple of years ago due to central bank intervention, due to quantitative easing and so forth. But one can't deny that bond markets are taking quite a draconian or rather bond markets is pricing in probably a more draconian outlook, global outlook, than what equity markets are pricing in at the moment.
You say in the final paragraph of your piece that you kindly sent me, it says the following: the market seems prepared for a prolonged low growth, low inflation environment. Does that affect your stock selection?
I think in short, yes, clearly. I think, I mean, as I mentioned, throughout the course of the year, we have probably turned slightly more defensive than what we were at the start of the year. I think right now, though, looking forward, I think we would probably not shift the portfolio as aggressively to go even more defensive, because I think to a large degree, you know, these issues around sluggish growth, low inflation is quite well known now. That is much more priced in now than a couple of months ago. And that's obviously reflected in yield curves, et cetera, like as well. So I think at the end of the day, you know, we've got a very sound process and investment philosophy. We know what to look for and what type of attributes to look for, and we will not deviate from that. So there will always be those basket of stocks with those four-factor attributes, high quality, equity value. You will be able to find companies that are showing some signs of improving operating performance with increasing investor attention. And ultimately, those are the only type of stocks that we are interested in, and we have a broad opportunity set to, in fact, choose from.
Well, given what's happening in the short term, you may have some bargains to be snapped up in the next few weeks and months, Reinhard. Reinhard Roet is the co-head of the four-factor capability at Investec Asset Management. We've been talking about the Discovery Global Equity Feeder Fund. That podcast was proudly brought to you in association with sharenet.co.za. Visit strictlybusinesspodcast.com and subscribe to receive exclusive content straight to your inbox.